space in which we live, and yet there seems to be no beginning and no end. For instance, your world to us is not a separate world, but part of ours. There are many steps, as it were, or many phases of life, and therefore, as one has many phases or conditions of life or many planes, so you do have many types of life. You have many kinds of humans, those who are very highly evolved, living in a very highly developed state of being. There are those who are very low. In fact, one would say, in some senses and in some ways, lower than life as you know it on earth. As you in your world have many types of people in various grades of development, so we have also here. One, I suppose, has the impression, a lot of people that is in your world, that you either go to heaven or you go to hell. Well, heaven is a state of mind, as indeed is hell a state of mind. There is no hell nor heaven, as some people would have you believe in your world. If there is a hell, as we know there is, it's not a hell in the sense that some in your world have taught for centuries. It is a hell within one's own mind, for it is mind that creates a state of being in which you dwell here. If you have lived a life where the mind is dragged down to a very low level, then obviously when you come here, you'll be in a similar state of being. If you have lived in an elevated way, mentally aspired to the highest that is possible in human nature, then you'll find that you will reach a higher plane of thought and dwell in a more conducive and happier state of being. Our life consists of many conditions, and what one person may come and tell you about their life may not tally in any shape or form with another, but that does not mean to say that either are wrong. One may be describing to you his life in a certain sphere or plane, which is very normal and natural to him, as indeed will another describe something quite different, which is natural and normal. The point is that all life here is natural law. No person, for instance, coming from your world, can go into a certain state of being unless they themselves have made it possible. Everything here works naturally. Everything here works completely and absolutely in harmony and in tune with natural law. No one can live in a state of absolute happiness, for instance, as some people have you believe. For instance, happiness, as we understand it, is not the same thing as you understand it. Don't misunderstand this remark, because some people listen to this who misunderstand this and assume that perhaps some of their dear ones are not happy. There's a difference between being happy and being in the state of happiness. You see, if you are completely and absolutely happy, then I think you've reached a stage where there seems to be little left to work for or strive for. Over here, there's always the desire for more knowledge, for instance, for more opportunity to express the spirit of oneself, and to, as it were, open up, become, as it were, more able to assimilate more of the higher thoughts and vibrations which we know emanate from the Godhead. So in consequence, although there is happiness, at the same time there's a form of restlessness, because you must have some form of restlessness to have progress. In other words, no one is completely satisfied. You see, the point is that life must always be progressing. If there is no end, as we know there appears to be no end, there is no complete ideal, shall we say, then there must be the desire for greater progress. So there's always a desire in oneself to know more, to express oneself more, to reach to a higher state of being. So life is continuous in that sense. And although one has a form of happiness, one at the same time is desirous of having and experiencing a little more. Knowing your well, one often hears people say, oh, all I want is just to be completely free to do as I want to do, to have no worries, no anxieties, to have sufficient to keep my head above water comfortably. But even assuming that a person had all those things, they would not necessarily be happy. They think they would be happy. They may be happy for a time, but there will come a time when they want a little more, or to know a little more, to experience a little more. In other words, they'll be restless. After all, life is movement. Life is motion. If life ceased to be without movement and motion, it seems to me that life then would cease to exist gradually if time fade away. Life depends on aspiration. Life depends on new experiences. The uncertainty of tomorrow, for instance, what is round the corner, makes life stimulating and interesting to you. Exactly the same happens with us. We're always searching, we're always hoping, we're always trying to find out a little more about things, the same as you are. It keeps you alive, keeps you, as it were, on your toes. It makes you happier because of the things that may yet be, the surprises that may yet be to come. So life over here is full of interest, full of surprises. Man is always searching, always trying to find out a little more about his life and the life that lies further along. Here we are living in a world that composed of so many different types of life that we never cease to wonder. We never become bored. We never become so satisfied. I expect in a way this may surprise you, because so many people I know come to you and say, I'm perfectly happy. I've got all I need, all I want. That's true. They mean that. They are. But after they've been here a little longer, they want to know a little more. They want to aspire to something a little better. And so it is that they go on and on. Life never ceases to be exciting. Never ceases to be interesting. That's how it should be. Which I've been through, if I can put it like that. I passed through many grades of life, many forms of life, until I've reached my present state of being. But I know there's much more to come, much more of interest to experience, much more to aspire to than that which I now have. To me, that is a tremendous beauty of this, that we never cease to go forward and upwards, as it were. Because life is tremendous. One never knows one small part only of life that we have experienced. Past is vital and important. It's helped to point the way to the present and the future. But it never stands still. It's always going on and upwards, forward. There's always so much to know and experience. A vision is a reality to those who see it. You see, what I want to convey here is this, that a person may be living in a state of being which is very real to them, but which may only be, in a sense, a vision to another, because they have not reached that stage of aspiration or development. Then again, there may be stages, as we know there are, beyond that, which are completely unknown and unseen to people living on an entirely different vibration. The point is that we live in a world that is ever-changing, and yet in some sense, as you could say, is ever there. For that which we have seen is still there for those who come after. But that which we are now in is a reality to us, and that which we aspire to is a vision to which we shall eventually become a part. Time, space, these things which confine you have no meaning to us. You are living in a three-dimensional world. We are not subject to it. We are beyond it. We are in a fourth dimension. That in itself is difficult to explain. Words are inadequate. How can one find words to express certain things which only have their meaning of being in a world such as ours? I have known people on the very last spheres who are in a state of what they would call, I suppose, paradise. But it would not be paradise to you or to me, but it is paradise to them. But as they begin to change, as they will, as their thoughts become more pregnant, as their desires become more intense from the things that lie outer, in the outer space, beyond their own confined condition, so they will begin to see that there is not perfection there. Man is searching. He doesn't necessarily know what he's searching for. Some say that they are searching for God. None of us know who God is or what God is. God is a tremendous vital power or force we feel which flows through all of us in various states of being according to our development or lack of it. Because they've been made by loving thought and care. They've been brought about by the very power and will of the divine. And yet man himself has infused life into them. Because man is constantly passing from sphere to sphere. As others, some leave, others take their place. From your world there is a great exodus every hour of the day of souls who enter into different spheres, who start, as it were, to assimilate the power and the conditions therein and make it their home for a time. But as they assimilate all that they can from one sphere, they go into another, as a developing character and in degree of spiritual attainment, so they become greater and more developed, and they cast aside more and more the things that held them down to the earthly condition of life. Life is constant movement, constant aspiration. I would say that aspiration should be the first word, the first keynote in all human lives, to aspire to the highest and the best that is within themselves, and to tune in, as it were, with the outer worlds, that they may receive guidance and inspiration from the divine. And there are many great souls who come to you from our worlds to lift you up and to help you on your journey. I only wish I could find words to explain the things that are in my heart and in the hearts of those here who stand around and about me. But we all come in loving service to help you, to guide you and uplift you, that you might know more and more the things that are real, the things that are true, and that from it all shall come a greater realization of your inheritance with the divine. Be of patient heart, my friends. We are ever beside you to help you, to guide you. In the moment of distress, in the moment when perhaps you do not know which way to turn, there are we beside you. We give you the inspiration to the best of our ability, and we know that all things pass away, that all things change. Have faith, for know that beyond all these difficulties of human frame and life, great things await you. It is a great adventure. No one need fear dying. No one need fear taking that last journey from your world to this. It is a great and glorious adventure when the spirit is freed from the body, with no more, as it were, for the complications of the flesh, but it is completely free to inherit the spirit, your worlds of God. Great things lie in store for the human mind and heart, if only they will take up the challenge. Living in a world that is fraught with dangers, Fear seems to be the dominant and ruling force in your world today. It is a tragedy that man is living by and with fear. It should not be so. But man has created for himself all these conditions. Often we hear people say, why does God permit this? God gives man free will, and if he abuses it, then tragedy follows. Man has created a hell for himself. It is up to man to find the path. We will show it. We will help him. But he must tread it. And he must change your world and its outlook and its attitude. Great hope, my son. And we feel that it must eventually come.
Find the truth.
higher plane of thought and dwell in a more conducive and happier state of being. Our life consists of many conditions, and what one person may come and tell you about their life may not tell in any shape or form with another, but it does not mean to say that either are wrong. One may be describing to you his life in a certain sphere or plane, which is very normal and natural to him, as indeed will another describe something quite different, which is natural and normal. Point is that all life here is natural law. No person, for instance, coming from your world, can go into a certain state of being unless they themselves have made it possible. Everything here works naturally. Everything here works completely and absolutely in harmony and in tune with natural law. Over here, there is always the desire for more knowledge, for instance, for more opportunity to express the spirit of oneself, and to, as it were, open up, become, as it were, more able to assimilate more of the higher thoughts and vibrations which we know emanate from the Godhead. Life depends on aspiration. Life depends on new experiences. The uncertainty of tomorrow, for instance, what is round the corner, makes life stimulating and interesting to you. Exactly the same happens with us. We're always searching, we're always hoping, we're always trying to find out a little more about things, the same as you are. It keeps you alive, keeps you, as it were, on your toes. It makes you happier because of the things that may yet be, the surprises that may yet be to come. So life over here is full of interest, full of surprises. Man is always searching, always trying to find out a little more about his life and the life that lies further along. Here we are living in a world that's composed of so many different types of life that we never cease to wonder. We never become bored, we never become so satisfied. I expect in a way this may surprise you, because so many people I know come to you and say, I'm perfectly happy, I've got all I need, all I want. That's true, they mean that, they are. But after they've been here a little longer, they want to know a little more, they want to aspire to something a little better. And so it is that they go on and on. Life never ceases to be exciting, never ceases to be interesting. That's how it should be, I think. We have our interests, as you know. I can only speak of certain planes that I've visited, which I've been through, if I can put it like that. I pass through many grades of life, many forms of life, until I've reached my present state of being. But I know there's much more to come, much more of interest to experience, much more to aspire to than that which I now have. To me, that is a tremendous beauty of this, that we never cease to go forward and upwards, as it were, because life is tremendous. One never knows one small part only of life that we have experienced. The past is vital and important. It's helped to point the way to the present and the future. But it never stands still. It's always going on and upwards, forwards. There's always so much to know and experience. That a person may be living in a state of being which is very real to them, but which may only be, in a sense, a vision to another, because they have not reached that stage of aspirational development. Then again, there may be stages, as we know there are, beyond that, which are completely unknown, unseen, to people living on an entirely different vibration. The point is that we live in a world that is ever-changing, and yet in some sense, as you could say, it's ever there. For that which we have seen is still labor for those who come after. But that which we are now in is a reality to us, and that which we aspire to is a vision to which we shall eventually become a part. Time, space, these things which confine you have no meaning to us. You are living in a three-dimensional world. We are not subject to it. We are beyond it. We are in a fourth dimension. That in itself is difficult to explain. Words are inadequate. How can one find words to express certain things which only have their meaning and being in a world such as ours? I have known people in the very lower spheres who are in a state of what they would call, I suppose, paradise. But it would not be paradise to you or to me, but it is paradise to them. But as they begin to change, as they will, as their thoughts become more pregnant, as their desires become more intense from the things that lie outer, in the outer space, beyond their own confined condition, so they will begin to see that there is not perfection there. Man is searching. He doesn't necessarily know what he's searching for. Some say that they are searching for God. None of us know who God is or what God is. God is a tremendous vital power or force we feel which flows through all of us in various states of being according to our development or lack of it. And the point is that we are all aspiring. And it is aspiration that brings out from each one of us all that is good, all that is best. In your world, there are those who do not aspire, have no aspiration. They are content with the material things in which they live. They have no desire for things beyond material. There's no aspiration in them. And yet we like to feel that even in the worst, there is some spark. We know that it exists. It is difficult to fan it into a flame. You have for so long desired to know more of the things that are eternal, that are lasting, that you will pass away. All that is here in the kingdoms of God are realities, because they are things that have been created with a permanency, because they have been made by loving thought and care. They've been brought about by the very power and the will of the divine. And yet man himself has infused life into them, because man is constantly passing from sphere to sphere. As others, some leave, others take their place. From your world there is a great exodus every hour of the day of souls who enter into different spheres, who start, as it were, to assimilate the power and the conditions therein, and make it their home for a time. But as they assimilate all that they can from one sphere, they go into another, as they develop in character and in degree of spiritual attainment, so they become greater and more developed, and they cast aside more and more the things that held them down to the earthly condition of life. Life is constant movement, constant aspiration. I would say that aspiration should be the first word, the first keynote in all human lives, to aspire to the highest and the best that is within themselves, and to tune in, as it were, with the outer worlds, that they may receive guidance and inspiration from the divine. Have faith, for know that beyond all these difficulties of the human frame and life, great things await you. It is a great adventure. No one need fear dying. No one need fear taking that last journey from your world to this. It is a great and glorious adventure when the spirit is freed from the body, with no more, as it were, all the complications of the flesh, but it is completely free to inherit the spirit, true worlds of God. Great things lie in store for the human mind and heart. Only they will take up the challenge. Spiritual fact you see, man can only conceive of an existence in some part at least like your own, and although that is true, it does apply to many of the spheres around the earth, the spiritual spheres, that life is very like in certain respects your life. Yet there are planes or spheres far removed where life is totally unlike, where human beings who once were upon earth are so transformed by the spirit that they cease to have any material link, material desire, and there is no way, as far as I can see, of depicting or picturizing their existence, which is so far removed from your experience of a life we have here in the realms of spirit planes, spheres which are so rare and rarely beautiful, so extraordinarily beautiful, where colouring is so far removed from your knowledge of colouring, where there is such glorious harmony of sound, that you are living in an environment which is perfection as far as it's possible for the mind to imagine such a thing. And yet we know, even those who live in those spheres know, as wonderful as their life is, that it is not perfection. There's always something a little further removed, which is more perfect. Within ourselves, as we struggle for perfection, we create around and about ourselves a more perfect existence. For man is created. Very few people realize that although God had created in the beginning, man himself makes the conditions under which he lives. In your world today, you live in a state of chaos, of fear, because man himself has created that condition. Yet the world itself is beautiful. It has much that is of great beauty, great joy to the human heart. It has sufficient in it for all to share and be happy. And yet man has made such chaos that he has transformed the world from one of beauty to one of fear and uncertainty. There is so much in your world that man has marred and spoiled, even in nature itself, apart from the way of life. You can imagine then how it must be in certain spheres where man has progressed in such a way that his whole being is so changed, so transformed, that he has become so spiritualized within himself that in consequence all around him is so glorious to behold, with words, mere material words, cannot possibly describe it. These virtues of love, tolerance, patience. When we come to you, as we often do, and I don't just refer to you, I refer to people genuinely who understand something that is true. When we come down to you to help you, to guide you, to instruct you, and to develop your spiritual and psychic force or power, we're often discouraged, because it seems to me the majority, a large number of people at least, who sit in circles, say their desires of developing and of being of service, often we realize that they have very little patience. They want things done very quickly. They want to see some sign or some signal. We can understand that, but at the same time, it is essential that those who sit should realize that their motive of sitting must be complete unselfishness, that they must sit with the idea and intention of developing themselves truly in a spiritual sense, even more so than in a psychic one. the majority of so-called spiritualists only concern with psychic development. Signs and wonders must be given to them. And they very rarely have the patience to give us the opportunity to give them to them, in any case. And often they are unfitted in themselves to sit and develop. They start off, as it were, on the wrong foot. They start off on a physical sense rather than a spiritual one. They put so many things before the right things. As I see it, a circle should consist of sincere souls who are sitting for spiritual upliftment and oneness with the divine, realizing that we have come to you are but instruments of the Most High, utilizing the power for good, trying to open up, as it were, the path so that they may tread it in light and in spiritual advancement. But so few, so very, very few of those who hold circles, and I've been to hundreds of them, sit with the right intention. They sit because they want signs and wonders. They want psychic development rather than spiritual development. And often they want to become mediums, not always because they want to serve humanity, but because they want to bolster up their own ego, their own personal self. I regret having to say these things. You may wonder why I brought this into my talk this morning. But I realize the advantage that these recordings have, inasmuch that they can be listened to by many people who are on the fringe of this truth and who may be thinking of sitting and opening up, as it were, for the development of themselves psychically, and I do hope spiritually, to realize that when they sit, they should sit together in perfect love, perfect harmony, realizing that the real motive of their sitting together is for spiritual unfoldment, that they might be blessed, that their eyes might be opened to the things that are of God, and that if they are given the opportunity to develop these psychic powers, that they must realize that they are to be used for the spiritual upliftment of mankind, not for any personal thing within themselves, not necessarily even always for the personal message, which to many is so important. We realize the importance of evidence, of communication, but we realize greater still the importance of spiritual unfoldment, as it were, developing oneself to become more and more tuned in with the divine forces. A little while ago you asked us about what we do when we're away from the earth. If I were to say that we constantly think of you, that our prayers are ever for you, that our love is ever with you, that in some measure we're endeavoring still to help you, though apart from you in a sense, because we are in our own condition, away from that. Yet it is true to say that we never cease to hope that man who has found a glimpse of truth may become more enlightened by our efforts, that he will be more and more strengthened, that he will be given more faith and more power to do the work of the Most High. We never cease, but for 1 second of your time, in hoping that here and there, out of the thousands of people who call themselves spiritualists, we shall find at least some who will put first things first and realize that we are opening up, as it were, the door to spiritual ideas. spiritual experience which will benefit the whole human race. We come, as you know, to break down the barriers that separate men throughout the world, the barriers that man has built up in his pride and his ignorance and foolishness, the barriers between peoples, religion, class, creed, dogma, all these things man-made which separate men from God. We come that we might change the whole world, that they might see with the eyes of the Spirit, and hear with the ears of the Spirit, and walk with the strength of the Spirit, and not blindly as they do, tottering as it were from birth to the grave, ignorant of truth, ignorant of the facts which could so help them on that journey. We come because we realize the more a man knows and learns of the spiritual things while upon earth, the more fitted he will be when he leaves it to enter into this realm. We want your world to be a real training ground of the Spirit. We want men to put the right things first in their lives. The rest will follow after. I know that you've heard this before, often given to you in different ways, but it is so vital. It must be reiterated again and again, because we know the value of these recordings. People will hear them here and there, and some, if only a few, will seek spiritual truths, will gain spiritual values. Our work will not have been in vain. We are so tired at times. The seances and circles that we've been to, where all we are concerned with is of a low order. If a table rises, or if something consequential happens, then they are filled with wonderment, and they are thrilled and happy, feeling that the evening has been well spent. That has its place. But remember, it is of no importance in comparison to the truth of Spirit, to the message of Spirit, to be in harmony and in tune with those from the higher realms. We have a great task to fulfill, a great job to do, and we need instruments of spiritual quality rather than material or psychic. There must be balance. We need the psychic gifts, psychic force. Without it, to great extent our work would be restrained. Remember, they are but the beginning, these things. It is the things that have the Spirit in the true sense that will save mankind. That is why I always welcome your visits here, why I welcome these recordings, because I can in some measure reach many souls, some of whom, no doubt, will feel and understand as I do that the things that matter are the things of God, and the things of God shall set men free and make them happy, and make them conscious of the oneness that they have with the Father. It is our work, our task. We bless you as our instruments and the opportunities that you give to us. Bless you again.
That was a conversation between a mother and her son. A typical